Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden slammed former President Trump for saying if he is elected, he wouldn't protect NATO members who fail to hold up their end of the bargain when it comes to defense spending.
No other president in our history has ever bowed down to a Russian dictator. Let me say this as clearly as I can. I never will. For God's sake, it's dumb, it's shameful, it's dangerous, it's un-American.
Mr. Biden's comment says he thanked the Senate for passing a supplemental funding package which provides aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and urged the House to do the same. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's left Walter Reed 2 days after he was admitted for a bladder issue. A passenger on Royal Caribbean's 9-month cruise has died. Quick-moving winter storms exiting the Northeast after leaving more than a foot of snow in some places. Carnival season comes to an end today with Mardi Gras parades and celebrations across New Orleans. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers' proposed district boundaries for the state legislature are on their way to his desk after passing both houses of the legislature this afternoon. Evers has said he'd sign the bill, and that would effectively close the maps lawsuit before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The new maps would place 6 incumbent state senators and 15 state representatives in the same district ahead of this fall's elections. Local election officials in Wisconsin are preparing for safe and secure voting this year, but some say the state should do more to meet the growing demand for absentee and early voting.
The funding that we receive from the state and from the federal government hasn't increased to accommodate any of that.
Meredith Witzel Bale is the city clerk in Madison. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WISS and WGBW. Green Bay Public School Superintendent is in trouble after some comments he made into a live microphone during a recent radio show appearance in Atlanta. It appears Claude Tiller Jr. thought no one could hear him during commercial breaks, and he criticized a co-worker and several teachers, sometimes using profanity. Those remarks went live on the show's internet live stream. Details came out at last night's school board meeting. An investigation is underway. Another day, another record high temperature in Green Bay. The official high was 46 degrees yesterday. That nudges out the old record of 45, which was set in 1966, 1990, and 2005. The average temperature in Green Bay so far this winter is a little more than 30 degrees. That's not the average high, that's the average temperature. The average temperature at this point this winter is usually just 21 degrees. More mild weather is forecast all week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican. She's a Democrat. She's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks with another win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 112-95 win over the Denver Nuggets. Giannis with 36 points to lead Milwaukee. The Bucks improving their defense. It's the first time this season they've held opponents to under 100 points in back-to-back games. Doc Rivers.
Just steady progress, believing in your D, trusting it, clarifying it. Don Shula, you know, if you ever read his book, he always talked about the fastest player is the one that doesn't have to think. And the more we can get our guys to know exactly what we're doing, they can play at full speed, simplify, so we can play with fire.
Baseball pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. The Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy, talked about a roster without pitchers like Corbin Burns or Brandon Woodruff.
We're kidding ourselves to think that this thing's going to be decided on paper because we lost Burns and Woodruff, and, you know, it's getting the guys to understand that, you know, if you want to make it happen, it starts with you.
That's the Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, some sun early, then clouds increasing in the afternoon, high in the mid-40s. Some rain developing tomorrow night, changing to snow overnight, an inch or so by Thursday morning. Some sun in mid-30s by Thursday afternoon. Right now, it's 33.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, there it is. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators. Yeah, we talk education here. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If you haven't heard the news, Busted Pencils every night of the week, Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock Central Time. Make sure you're tuning in. The number's 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Civic Media, if you're not paying attention, it is just taking over the entire state of Wisconsin. I would say at this point, Anya, is there any place in Wisconsin that Civic Media isn't reaching?
You'd have to look pretty far and pretty wide to find some corner of this state that you can't hear us from. It's hard to hide from the waves of Civic Media now. We're everywhere. So I'd say no.
It's everywhere. It's spread. It's out there. It's grabbing. And then the other person, if you're on the Civic Media app, you can listen anywhere. L.A. That's Tom, right. We know L.A. Tom in Los Angeles is listening all the time to Civic Media. That's the best thing about the Civic Media app. It doesn't matter where you are. Just hit that app and you can listen to every one of your favorite shows, particularly us, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend? How's it going?
I'm good, man. It's Tuesday. You know, we're in the flow. Taught the teachers today, so I always enjoy, you know, my Tuesdays and Thursdays with the future teachers out here.
We have to prepare future. So you were teaching teachers about teaching.
Absolutely.
We're educated educators who talk education, and you were teaching teachers about teaching.
That's right, about elementary social studies curriculum. But then in general, today was one of the first days back. They've been in classrooms that they're going to be doing their student teaching in. Now they're back in here, and they have loads of questions, as any new teacher should.
Well, here's the question, though, Johnny. Do they know that the future is calling them? And in fact, from K-12 Dive, I highlighted this last Friday, but got to bring it up because it is getting so much attention. Article in K-12 Dive, the future is artificial intelligence. Question, Johnny, are the students ready? Let me just quote here, though, from the very beginning to Richard Collada. Students need to learn about artificial intelligence and its inner workings now. But even more critical, says the CEO of the International Society for Technology and Education, is that educators teach pupils not just about the technology, but how to partner with AI in their own work. Now, Johnny, we've done, you know, a decent amount of artificial intelligence shows, here's the piece saying students ready. And, you know, I want to highlight just, you know, how do we help students understand the best uses? How do we rethink assessments? How do we provide PD for teachers that are going to be using AI, and how do we create guardrails as we're going through this? And I wanted to bring this forward to start talking about it because, you know, we've had conversations. Should we use it to write papers? Should we not? The reality, though, is at this point, it's out here. Kids are using it. Some teachers are using it. Some families are using it. How are we using it, though, and are people ready? And are teachers, Johnny, you're teaching teachers today. Has your curriculum, your syllabus for your teaching teachers started to implement artificial intelligence yet?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't use artificial intelligence to generate that. I mean, it could. We've experimented a little bit about that, but it absolutely is part of the teaching. And I told you earlier, Tim, I've been a little bit more of a naysayer.
I know you have. I know.
I mean, a little bit of a curmudgeon, a get off my lawn guy with the artificial intelligence. But really, and I come back to that comparison I made when we really first started talking about it on this show, because it was like, the AI is coming. The AI is coming. You know, we really started to chop that up. And it reminds me so much of integrating calculators into teaching math, looking at software that, you know, did computations and did sort of some of the really cool things, like even if we're to talk about like Photoshop and using, you know, editing softwares to do graphic design and to do photography stuff. It is a technology tool that is going to be part of most industries, if not all of them. I don't want to just blanket that, you know, all is kind of a wide casting, you know, word to throw in there, but it's going to be part of everyday life. So I think it's really exciting to think that not only are we talking about our teachers ready and thinking about what it means for how they teach, but students for how they learn, because I think there's, like we did with calculators, there's a case to be made that there's a tool that's very useful and helpful, but also we want to be creative and think. And so how do those two things work together?
Good questions right there, Johnny Lupinacci out there. Whoa, Cam, right away from Nina. Cam, you're on the line. Artificial intelligence. Now, Cam, you are not an artificial intelligence bot, are you, Cam?
No, I'd be way smarter. I actually dropped out of college.
Hey, Cam, what's happening, man?
Hey, so while I may have dropped out of college, I actually work in IT and have for, I think I'm getting pretty close to 10 years.
Okay.
I am a DevOps, I don't know if you would call it like a senior DevOps technician, and I'm also a developer, and I own my own game studio, and I'm working on releasing a game. Those two things are completely unrelated, but my reason for calling in is and providing that info is to say that I kind of do know what I'm talking about with some of this. These AI language models that do exist right now, I kind of think that they do need to be integrated, but for any of the teachers out there, they have to not fall for the bait that is any of these services saying that they can detect if a student used AI. Those simply do not work. Yep. They are lying to you. It has never worked. It's not possible. The best way you can get your students to not use AI to generate their entire thing is to get them to show their versioning history inside of their documents if they're writing them on the computer.
Listen to this, Cam. I love it, man. My brother calling in and dropping knowledge. That is super helpful. Teachers out there listening, Cam is 100% correct. This is good pro tip, Cam. Thank you.
Well, Cam, think about it. It's undetectable. And I've tried to say that. I gave a presentation here on my campus to college faculty, and I put out there, Cam, and I'm going to have to invite you to my campus to make that statement. I put out there, and because this comes from Ethan Mollick at Penn University, who has said, look, artificial intelligence is undetectable. And it will continue to move down that line. If anybody tells you there is a software or some kind of system out there that can, quote, detect artificial intelligence, not true, because it is undetectable. Johnny, I got pushback from my faculty, or they're like going, oh, no, we can catch it. We know for sure. And I said, I don't know that you know for sure. potentially, should you have a sense, and you know, John Warner, one of our guests, has put this out, should you have a sense of how your students write, and that you might be able to understand that their writing style has changed drastically? That's probably detectable. But what Cam's saying here, though, too, is if you think you're going to feed in a passage that a student turns into you, and it's going to say, well, ChatGPT-4, Bard 3.9, Claude 7.6. No. It's not going to happen.
There's no lazy way out of this. I'll just put it out there. Like, this is one of those tools that puts us as educators in a role of having to just be more responsible to know students' work. It's also an argument when we're talking about, you know, we can't completely automate the classroom. You have to kind of get to know your students. There is importance to that, like class size and things, because then you can detect that. And I love what Cam offered. Share the version histories, right? Share how you use this tool, how you revised, how it helped you think. Like, that's a learning process that integrates the technology in with the learning.
Well, so Cam, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Make sure you give us more and more calls and put it out there, everybody. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk every day of the week. 844-967-2789 is the number if you want to jump in and give us a call. How are you using artificial intelligence? Well, Johnny, back to the article, though. I just got to put this, you know, here's the quote from Richard Collada, again, from the International Society for Technology and Education. Quote, every kid that graduates today is going to work on a team where not every member of their team is human. How do you work on a team where not all members are human? How do you know what tasks to hand off to the non-human counterparts? Does that creep you out, man, to think about that? But, or is this just a fact? It's like, look, you go into the workplace and, you know, here's the thing. Education is a lot about workforce development. People leaving school today, going out into the workforce, according to this article, some of your team members are going to be artificial intelligence. So teachers out there, are you helping students be prepared for their artificial intelligence team member? Johnny, are you ready for an artificial intelligence team member?
No, but I'm learning. I'm learning all the time, and it's great, because one of the things I was talking with teachers today about is one of the great things about becoming a teacher and being a great teacher is that you're open to always learning. We say that in a lot of professions, but you have to be flexible and you have to adapt and you have to be open to learning that there are different ways people learn, and then tasks often change. How we do things change. It's dynamic. And this is one of those moments where educators out there, for the most part, are learning how to work with AI. Also, workforce is learning. We're all learning. Now, I'll like, side note, technological developments move much faster than often our human capacities and structures to adapt. So there's a little bit of a lag time. I'll use it like a technology term for us humans. There's a little bit of lag time and adjustment, but it's exciting because, yeah, I'm still in the learning phase. So what can this stuff do? Like, how can we best utilize our creative capacities as humans and get those human tasks delegated and assigned, and then lean on AI where we can responsibly integrate this technology? And I think it's going to really increase the quality of stuff that's out there.
Johnny Lupinacci, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The future is artificial intelligence. Are students ready? Well, when we get back, helping students understand its best use. And Johnny, for this, rethink assessments. More artificial intelligence Busted Pencils back.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wild.
This is Chuck Smith, owner of Current Electric, home of the superheroes. Have you noticed electrical problems in your home or business? Flickering lights, broken breakers, outlets that wiggle and jiggle? Current Electric knows the most important thing is protecting your family, and our heroes are experts at electrical repairs and upgrades. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, we answer the call. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. 262-786-5885. Keep your electricity alive.
It's
2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
There are lots of days that go by. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The future is artificial intelligence. Are students ready? We're looking at an article coming out of K-12 Dive asking that question. Great call last segment from Cam. Cam, though, sent us back in a text and puts down there, he will also add that LLMs, that's large language models, are excellent at teaching topics for people like him who have severe ADHD. It can put nearly everything into incredibly digestible, customized formats. Johnny, powerful stuff right there to think wow. about that. The ability to take and you know, this is a is it an adaptive technology then in that sense, or are we using it as an adaptive technology?
I mean, it can be. I mean, arguably, that's good tech. Like, good technology is something that adapts, you know, information for us in that way. It helps bring, it complements like our human experience. And so, man, I love Cam's contributions today. Like, Cam, call all the time, and we love that you're listening. And I know you're working on your game, but man, Cam should be a teacher.
Well, and look, like, producer Anya, I do that too. Okay, Anya, jump in. So you use artificial intelligence to break stuff down?
I have been more and more recently. So I've started doing something really weird with GPT 3.5, the free one, which is sometimes I just jump in with it and I say, like, hey, what can you do in regards to like music? I learned that GPT could make chip tunes of like songs that are copyright free and things. So I just have started asking it, like, what can you do? And it was explaining these different things. So I've started putting in articles that I'm reading, especially articles where it's like, I appreciate that the author added all these personal information about themselves, but maybe I really only need to know how to change a tire from this article and not, you know, how their granddad taught them to do and all that. So I'll sometimes copy and paste it into GPT and say, hey, can you just make a bullet point list of like the facts that are in this article? And it helps me sort of skim off the top. It sounds so inhumane to do this, but when an article just has maybe too much fluff around it, and I'm like, wait, no, what's the facts of this? What are you claiming? GPT has really helped me to break that down. And I can even ask it after the fact, like, hey, you said that she mentioned that this is part of the process for changing the tire. Say more about what that article had to say. It's like, oh, yeah, so here are more details about that. It just helps me digest so much info that with ADHD, if I just look at the screen and it's just a wall of text, my heart rate ticks up and I'm like, I'm going to miss stuff. I can't afford to, you know, not understand this whole thing. GPT's there to help me. So, yeah.
Well, there it is. It breaks it down. And one of the adaptive technology uses that really put out there, and I've done this, and this works much better with the ChatGPT-4, the paid version, but writing a prompt to actually create a learning tutor. You can ask ChatGPT to become your tutor. Tell it, you know, how old you are. Tell it what you're interested in studying in. And what it does, too, is when you frame it that way, and kind of going back to Cam's ideas, it will create a tutoring session where it takes the information and chunks it into digestible frames so that people have an opportunity to understand better. The other thing that I did with this prompt and for learning was, as I said, you know, please provide multiple examples when you're explaining a new concept. And Johnny, that's just good teaching, right? When you're teaching and you're looking out there and you see a kid and they're like, they just don't get it. you know, the solution to helping a student get it is not pay a darn attention to me and listen, darn it. It's like, wait a minute, let me help you maybe reframe or relook at this. That's good teaching. The fact that you can have artificial intelligence literally coming out with multiple perspectives or multiple ways of trying to understand something, that's just good teaching and learning right there, you know?
Yeah, and I just throw in there that there are limits to it. So kind of teaching and navigating those things and modeling that helps us. Again, I said we have a lag in our human capacity to adapt to how these technologies change the landscape of the work we do. So we want to be really transparent about that. Like, there are limits to this. Let's test the limits. Let's see what they are. What are the shortcomings? How do we know how to best use this tool together? And what are the decisions that are still really human and important for us to, you know, to be making and to be skilled at making? We got Joanne on the line, though. Let's go before we go
there
to break.
There she is. I knew Joanne was going to come in. That's Dr. Orr. Dr. Joanne, how are you?
Really good. Oh, great discussion. Just a quick point to add, though. I'd be very, very afraid as a teacher in the process of allocating how much to assign to students, how many tasks, because, again, if you know how to do your prompts, if you know how to use ChatGPT, you can go through a lot of work really, really quickly. And those students who maybe would like to do a few assignments without the help of AI would be set behind. I mean, really, really set behind. So again, with assessment, the whole process, how much can you assign students to do and how much to grade them on with or without the help of ChatGPT or other generative AI tools.
Nice point. Joanne, so what about this point, though, that I was kind of, it's kind of simple, but I see a lot of critics talking about this from the standpoint of saying, hey, if you're giving assessments and assignments that are, you know, easily ChatGPT or whatever, you know, artificial intelligence, then you need to change the nature of your assignments and your assessments. I see Joanne, yeah, she's not there anymore. But, you know, that's the question here, Johnny. So, you know, one of these points in the article is that we have to rethink assessments now. We have to, and so for anybody who's listening going, assessments, quizzes, tests, ways that we have students provide examples that they've learned something. If you're giving an assignment that typically for the longest time required students to just give back the facts or to explain something they just read, and as Anya pointed out, well, they can easily have ChatGPT read that and give you a nice 3-sentence summary. So then you're starting to say, how do we ask students to do different assignments, different tasks, different quizzes to prove that they're learning? Because, you know, as Cam let us know in the first part of the show, it's undetectable. And maybe the reality is that we need to create assessments that don't necessarily lend themselves to large language models, or the possibility, and I saw there's a great example here, maybe we can use this to create multiple answers, and then from the multiple answers, we will go out and determine the best ones. Stephen Thomas, how will artificial intelligence impact standardized testing? Coming across, I guess that came across on the YouTube channel.
Those are
right
from
now.
Our YouTube live stream. You can comment on any of our live streams and we can see it. So jump in on the conversation, y'all.
Yep.
How will it change? I love that question. I hope it makes them go away permanently, Johnny. That would be my thought. You're not looking too happy about that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the whole idea of like our standardized testing is sort of a precursor to an AI world, right? It's like before the AI sort of had these like very fixed tests with correct outcomes and with data that, you know, can be some sort of output of in the form of a measurement. And so I think it's like, I'd like to see, you know, testing also adapting and AI pushing that, because, you know, if it's as simple as it's something that can be answered by artificial intelligence, and is it important for our kids to really learn, right? And
so I don't know.
It's going to expose
Johnny Lubin,
that stuff.
He's asking the hard questions, providing teachers for PD when we get back. Artificial intelligence.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Wednesday at 9 a.m. for my conversation with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. I'm Earl Ingram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Marshfield Clinic is expanding its labor and delivery facilities in Eau Claire. Marshfield says its obstetrics unit is going from 8 beds to 20. The expansion would mean jobs for some of the more than 1,400 people who are losing their jobs as two hospitals and several clinics in western Wisconsin are set to close. Governor Evers says conditions are getting better in Wisconsin prisons. Evers partially lifted lockdowns in November.